Glad to see everyone back with us this evening. If you have your Bibles, be turning with me to the book of Numbers. Book of Numbers, we're going to be looking specifically at chapter 6. Book of Numbers, chapter 6. And we'll get to our passage here in just a moment. Now, oftentimes, the book of Numbers is a book that gets overlooked. People, often we, see the book of Numbers as, well, a book of numbers. A bunch of names and lists and commands and numbers that maybe we think has no factor in Christianity today. But in the book of Numbers, we have the privilege of being introduced to more than just the 12 sons of Jacob. We have the privilege of being introduced to the 12 tribes of Israel. This great nation that was developed from Abraham's seed to bless all nations by bringing forth the Son of God. And the book of Numbers can be divided into four parts. If you're taking notes, the first 10 chapters make up the first part, and they cover about the last 19 days of the Israelites at Mount Sinai. So the first 10 chapters cover about 19 days, the last 19 days there at Mount Sinai. The other three parts and the remainder of the book cover the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. In the first section, chapters 1 through 10, we're introduced to the 12 tribes containing between 2 and 3 million people who are preparing at this point and being prepared to be God's people. We're introduced to the heads of these tribes. We're told how many fighting men each tribe has. And we're told where each one will camp around the tabernacle, who their neighbors will be, what order they will take in their march across the wilderness. In chapter 4, we're introduced to the tribe of Levi, men who will be set aside for work in the service of God's tabernacle. In chapter 5, he gives instructions on cleansing the camp where his people dwell. In chapter 6, we're told how many men might set him, or how any man, rather, might set himself apart to God for a time by undertaking the Nazirite vow. And then as chapter 6 closes, we read one of the most encouraging, one of the most uplifting, one of the best blessings ever pronounced upon man. Chapter 7 through 10 contain the dedication of the tabernacle and the priests. So here in chapter 6, there at the end of chapter 6 of Numbers, we have kind of the final instructions for all the other tribes. It's the final instructions before the big dedication and departure. The tribes are about to make a transition to a form of worship to God under the service of a priesthood. They had never done this before. Up to this point, it was the head of each household. They're going now to be subject to a law like none they had ever seen. They're going to need guidance and instruction and correction. And so God tells Moses to tell Aaron and his sons, the priests then of Levi, those who will be the priests, those who will be providing the guidance to the people on a daily basis, to bless the children of Israel with these words. I want you to read with me Numbers chapter 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. One of the greatest blessings ever pronounced upon man in those few short verses. Friends, what comforting words of assurance for a people that will have struggles, for a people that is going to endure difficulties and doubts in the years, the decades, the centuries to come. Let's look at this passage, Numbers chapter 6, beginning in verse 24. Let's break this passage down bit by bit, and let's look at this blessing that the Lord pronounces upon this people. And as we do that, friends, think of this. Oh, to be blessed as God blessed this people. This should be our prayer one for another, that God bless us, that this blessing be pronounced upon us as it was the people of Israel. In Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24, we read first of all, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord bless thee here is a general blessing for the things that God provides. God has blessed all of us this day with the sunshine upon our faces. He's blessed us in the past week with the rain that has fallen upon the earth. The general blessings that God provides. That's the idea of the Lord bless thee. His blessings comes from providing us all the necessities of life. The air that we breathe, the water that we drink. These necessities of life God has provided. The fruit of our bodies, our children, that's a blessing from God. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 4. The fruit of our daily labor in meat and fruit and bread, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 4 as well. All of these blessings God has given to us. You know, Christ prayed in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Give us those general blessings, those necessities that we have in life. Psalms 37 and verse 25, we read, I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God is going to provide for the necessities of life. God's daily blessing is more than we deserve, and we need always to be thankful. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 68 and verse 19, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He blesses us every day, and blesses again. How thankful ought we to be for just the, quote, general blessings of God Almighty. But we continue in verse 24 and read, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Friends, this blessing here is a providential protection provided by God as we read the text. God is going to provide for His people in a providential manner. But not only to protect us, but to put a hedge around us. We read in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 7, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. You see the picture that God gives us there? We may endure things in this life, no doubt. But as we've been studying in our Bible class hour on Sunday mornings concerning the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and as we studied this morning, God will have His recompense. He will have His vengeance. So as Christians, we ought to keep that in mind. We don't fight the same kind of battles that the Israelites fought, but we still have an enemy today. While Israel faced physical enemies, we face spiritual. The enemy in Matthew 13 and verse 39 concerning those parables, the enemy that sold them is the devil, the tares, that is. The harvest is the end of the world, the reapers are the angels. James 4 and verse 7 tells us, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Friends, we have the protection of God if we allow Him to protect us. That providential care that He gives to His children. He's going to look after us. He's going to bless us. We continue in verse 25. And the blessing continues there. Verse 25 says, the Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Let's concentrate first of all, the Lord make His face to shine upon thee. First, let me ask you this question. Is there anything that brightens your day more than a smile? For someone just to give you a smile, maybe a smile of approval, whatever it may be, is there anything that brightens your day more than a smile? Now let me ask you this. Is there a smile that brightens your day more than any other? A smile that you look for from one particular person that will brighten your day more than any other. Now let's take that a step further. Is there a smile that will brighten your day more than God smiling at you? Friends, knowing that we have found favor in His sight, is there anything that could brighten our day more? Is there anything that could brighten our day more than knowing that He, God, is giving us His attention? God's smile, His smile is letting us know that we are in favor with Him. We may look at it like this. When our children come to us and tell us about that incredible, awesome thing that you have to come and see. What are they looking for? What are they looking for more than the attention and favor of their parents? What are they looking for more than the smile and approval and acceptance of their father? Friends, let me tell you, we never outgrow that, do we? We never outgrow that. We as Christians ought to be seeking the favor of God, our Father. No matter how old we get, we desire that smile, that acceptance, that approval, that favor from our Father. We desire that favor, that acceptance from our Heavenly Father. We desire the face of our Heavenly Father to shine upon us. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 105, verse 4, "Seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face evermore." He wrote in Psalm 31 and verse 16, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake." Friend, on the day of judgment, as I approach His throne and His face illuminates the heaven, Revelation 22 and verse 5, I want God, my Father, to turn His face toward me and look at me with favor and smile. There won't be a greater feeling than to have that happen upon that day. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. Peter writes, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Would you have the Lord smile upon you? See, that's the prayer, that's the blessing pronounced upon Israel at this point. Are we living in such a way that that blessing could be laid upon us? The verse goes on to say, "And be gracious unto thee." Now, friends, we know what grace is. We know that grace defined is the unmerited favor of God. May you find grace, or be found in the grace of the Lord. May His face not be turned away from me. May I not find myself in outer darkness. As we study this word grace, we find in the Old Testament concerning Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's what Noah found. We see that it was grace that saved Lot from the fate of Sodom, Genesis 19 and verse 19. What about the New Testament? In Acts chapter 15 and verse 11, we read, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they." Ephesians 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." We read in 2 Peter 1 and verse 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Friends, God has extended His grace unto us by His Son dying upon the cross. By Him shedding His blood so that we might have the opportunity to have our sins remitted, if we will but obey. We have unmerited favor, the unmerited favor of God. In Luke 17, if you'll be turning there, keep a finger there in Numbers chapter 6. But I want you to notice Luke 17, verses 7 through 10 with me. Luke 17, verses 7 through 10. The Lord speaking says, beginning in verse 7 of Luke 17, "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, 'Go and sit down to meat,' and will not rather say unto him, 'Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink?' Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do.'"
Think about that, friends.
Even as we follow the commandments of God, do we deserve heaven? Not a bit. We could do all the good works that we could possibly do in this life, and still, no human would ever deserve the glory and riches of heaven. No human would ever deserve to have the Father smile upon him. But it's by His grace, His unmerited favor, that you and I as Christians have the hope of heaven. That we can expect, as long as we obey His words, that we can expect heaven. Because He's promised it. But there's nothing that we could ever do to deserve it. Let's continue in Numbers 6 and verse 26. We read there, "The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace." The first part of that verse states, "The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee." Friends, may the Lord work His power on me, in other words. Not the power of men, not the power of the priest, but the power of God. God's power is to provide, protect, and show us good. May that power work upon us. In Psalm chapter 4 and verse 6, the psalmist writes, "There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us." May God work His power on us and through us, so that His kingdom and He may be glorified. We continue to read in verse 26, "And give thee peace." Can we really understand the peace that God is able to give? The Bible tells us we can't. The peace that passes all understanding. The peace and comfort that can only come from God. "And give thee peace," the Scripture says. Friends, the word peace, P-E-A-C-E, peace, is found 400 times in our English Bibles. "When I lay my head down at night, it is the Lord's blessing that sings me to sleep." That peace of mind that a Christian can have, that if I do not wake up tomorrow, I don't have anything to worry about. That's the peace of God. The psalmist writes, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Psalm 29 and verse 11, "The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace." My friends, like many of God's blessings, they often require work on our part, don't they? Matthew 5 and verse 9, the Lord there at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." We're going to have to work at peace. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." We've got to work at it. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 6, we read, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds?" It's going to require work. Romans 2 and verse 10, "But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." Friends, peace is the reward for Jesus Christ, from Jesus Christ, for those who are spiritually minded and ask for it. We read, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Romans 8 and verse 6. We read in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your request be made known unto God. Ask for it. And the peace of God then," verse 7, "which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Friends, does anybody else in the world have the peace of mind that a Christian has? No one. And we have that peace from God. The message of peace. As we read Scripture, as we read the Word of God, we see that the message of peace is the Word of God. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans 10 and verse 15, concerning the preaching of the gospel, we read, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Friends, that is the message that we preach today. The message of peace in Jesus Christ. The message of blessings in Christ Jesus. The message of favor, of the favor of God's face on His children. The message that Jesus Christ provided for our every need. He has provided salvation for all men, particularly those that believe. Salvation is given to all men if they will but obey. Those that obey have it within their grasp. This blessing upon the children of Israel, may that blessing ever be laid upon us as Christians. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. Be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. That's verse 27 of Numbers chapter 6. The children of Israel would wear the name of God. They would be known as God's people, and the Bible says He would bless them. We see in Isaiah 62 and verse 2, "The Gentiles shall see thy righteousness and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name." Now, friends, I wonder what that name is. If you look in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, you see that new name. We read there, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people." Now don't miss this. And put it with Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 2. "And the disciples were called Christians." Called what? Christians. First at Antioch. Friends, we can't wear any other name under heaven and expect salvation. We must wear the name that God gave. And that is the name that we wear today. Those that hear this gospel of peace, those that believe it, those that repent of their sins, those that confess Christ as the Son of God and then are baptized, immersed in water for the remission of their sins, to put His name on, to be blessed by Him, to receive His favor, to receive His grace, and to have that peace that passes all understanding. Friend, are you here this evening having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why not? You can do so this very evening. You can put Christ on in baptism. You can have that peace that passes all understanding, if you will but obey. Friend, are you here tonight having done the things we've just mentioned? Have you fallen away? Have you gone back into the world? Friend, come home. Be His again. Know the peace of the Lord. Know the peace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Friend, if you need to obey the gospel, if you have need to repent, or friend, if you just need the prayers of the church, would you come right now while we stand and while we sing?